If the NSA is listening, we can at least be entertaining. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Impeachment charges themselves are sufficiently flawed and sufficiently baseless. There's not a genuine issue of material fact here, meaning we don't have any facts that are in dispute that are sufficiently critical to the charges and to their success. I'm not seeing any need for witnesses at all. In any event, between Hunter Biden and John Bolton, you've got a privilege issue with John Bolton that would make things a lot more complicated.
Hi there. Comments from Mike Lee. He was right. They wanted him to comment on which direction Romney would go. He said he wouldn't comment on that. I can tell you which direction Romney's going to go in because it doesn't take a brain surgeon to realize who Romney is. But welcome to the Kate Daly Show, and I'm grateful for Mike Lee's comments about the lack of evidence in this impeachment sham. It's nice to hear that from Mike Lee. Let's just hope that it's called out for what it's called out for, and that these perpetrators of this sham would actually have something happen to them for doing this. That's one can hope for that. But the fact that Ken Starr's on it, he was the attorney for Epstein. The attorney went after Clinton, didn't do much there that he could have, covered up Vince Foster's murder. And then, of course, now he's on this, does not give me a lot of confidence. Anyway, just same old deep staters every single time. These people don't ever go away. They just keep cropping up their ugly heads and saying, here I am. And so for those that like Ken Starr, well, good for you, but I don't, and I'm not a fan of the deep state, and all these people are part of the deep state, and I don't know what's going to happen next. But I do have Susan here. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. It's Susan Reeves here. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, you just love this whole sham that's going on. I just think it's hysterically funny. At the same time, it's pathetically sad.
Well, at the same time, we're also being exposed to new information that we haven't seen before. We're seeing the true character of Adam Schiff. We're seeing the true character of Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
In all of her drunken pronouncements or whatever she does. And we're seeing really brilliant heroes like Peter Schweizer, who wrote Clinton Cash and revealed the underpinnings of the illicit Clinton Foundation and how their main donor, number one donor, was from Ukraine. So now he has written a new book called Profiles in Corruption.
Can he testify?
He would be like a knockout blow.
Forget Hunter Biden. He won't say a thing. He'll claim privilege. But as far as this goes, that would be
interesting. Peter Schweizer, and I love his subtitle, Leveraging Power and Abuse of Office by American Progressive Elites. And so he has done a lot on corruption over the years. But he has written this book, and it has 1,100 footnotes. So unlike the books that the progressives create where they have anonymous sources, he has no anonymous sources. His sources are all hardcore. And what he has shown today, I love this headline, that Elizabeth Warren's son-in-law produced a film funded by the Iranian government.
Wait, say that again?
Elizabeth Warren, candidate for president, son-in-law.
Pocahontas, yes.
Produced a film funded by the Iranian government.
Really?
Now, do you think it would have been hard for the media to have dug into that and picked up on that?
You mean her kid also is connected to Iran and to the Ukraine?
It's just a coincidence. No, it's a coincidence.
It's like everybody had a kid and that kid had to be connected to either the Ukraine or Iran in some phenomenal way. Amazing.
Well, and we've talked before about how wonderful the Persian people are. So that's what they consider themselves.
Right. Persian, of course.
Right. And they're wonderful.
I've met some nice Iranians. And we're not saying about the people. We're talking about the government. Their deep state and their government is a problem, just like it is in every country.
So the hilarious part of this is that her son-in-law, his name is Sushil Tyagi, is Indian. Now, not American Indian, as she claimed to be, but Eastern Indian.
And what does his father do? Because I'm actually, it seems to me, it's like when you get into, Chelsea Clinton, Medinsky? What is their last name?
Marvinsky, I think.
Gosh, what is it? I actually was just looking at it today. And his father was the one that went to prison for extorting money, and it all is wrapped up in the Clintons and all of the crapola that's been going on for decades. But she married that son of that family.
Right.
Anyway, it's just they're always married to each other.
Such amazing connections. Yeah. Well, he met her daughter, Amelia, mm-hmm. at the Wharton Business School, where they were getting MBAs, and that's legit. You know, mm-hmm. people are doing that. She was very close to this family, so she even attended Tyagi, her son-in-law's brother's wedding. So mm-hmm. she got involved with the in-laws, Elizabeth mm-hmm. Warren. Mm-hmm. And then she wrote about it in her memoir, and they've had some financial ties. But here's the thing. There's these curious business dealings. Mm-hmm. So he produces this film, Tyagi, called Song of Sparrows. Very odd. It's about a man who's fired from his job on an ostrich farm and moves to the big city and becomes a motorcycle taxi driver. Okay, well, that's very unusual.
Sounds like a winner.
Oh, my gosh. It was a very religious movie. He's listed as the sole producer on the New York Times page in credits, but now those have been deleted. But they had to go to the Wayback Machine, so which you can go to on the internet and see that. But it turns out it was funded by an Iranian government agency that is overseen by Iranian propagandists. So they were able to see Peter Schweitzer's researchers. So he just didn't research this himself. He mm-hmm. worked with a team of researchers. And it was financed by none other than the social deputy of the State Welfare Organization of Iran and the Cultural Artistic Organization of Iran. So these are government-run organizations. Mm-hmm. And it is in charge of, in part, Islamic propaganda. Mm-hmm. And they promote events, children's events, such as the Seal of Hostages. This was a child event in Iran. And so they promote the anti-Semitic Quds Day, the mm-hmm. last day of Ramadan, to destroy Israel. And so this is who financed her son-in-law's film project, this group.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's just that it just doesn't surprise me anymore.
Oh,
they all have kids that are very, very busy.
And it gets better. There mm-hmm. is a thank you note in mm-hmm. the credits to the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Air Force. A thank you in the film.
That's interesting.
Yes. So it says this was during the time this was created when Washington had accused Iran of assisting in the killing of five American soldiers based in Iraq. And Ahmadinejad had threatened the United mm-hmm. States, calling us a satanic power. This is who he was aligned with, making a film with her son-in-law. So she can pretend... Yeah. That she wants to be president of the United States as a patriot and has our best interests at heart.
Honestly, Elizabeth Warren, I'm sorry, in the same sentence as the word patriot.
Well,
I just threw up in my mouth just a little bit. Let me contain. Okay, go ahead.
Clearly isn't announcing it that her son-in-law has an attachment, a financial attachment to the Iranian government.
Yeah.
And the worst part of the Iranian government outside of the military.
Right.
So his website has been taken down now. But the thing about it is, what else is he up to? And why would he have these inclination and leanings? And why would she be so close to the family? What else is she close to? What don't we know about? And how come the media hasn't turned this up before? So his research...
The media doesn't turn up anything. they never say... What are they... Okay, just put it this way. Think about this, everybody. What have they ever told you that you've actually learned about something that corrects the truth of what's been happening in America? Have they ever actually given you something that you've actually really, really learned that's new?
You mean enlightened us?
Yes.
No. The media does not do that. They create narratives.
Uh-huh.
And this is part, again, you look at ShadowNet mm-hmm. and how none of this about... So this was on Breitbart because it was in his book, which has just been released.
Uh-huh.
And other than that, you're not seeing this spread around.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to go through the through the conservative media.
Right.
This will start to spread.
Right.
And hopefully there will be enough conservative awareness. But do you think people on the left will ever be made aware of this?
Uh-uh.
I don't think so.
No.
I absolutely don't think so. So he has done just an enormous favor for us. And you know how we were talking last week mm-hmm. about... that wonderful headline that said in the Washington Post mm-hmm. that Hillary was the most exonerated politician ever. The most exonerated.
Yes, you've entered the Twilight Zone. You heard her right. The Post bought and sold with Bezos at the head. That's why they hired him, because he would do their bidding because he's already contracted with CIA. So the headline was exonerating her as the most exonerated politician. What would you like your headline to say, Hillary? I don't know. How about I'm the most exonerated politician of all time? Oh, okay. We'll do that. Yeah. So go ahead. I think I just threw up again, but who wishes that?
But yeah. Driving home, I remembered a conversation I had about 20 years ago. A guy who'd worked in security for decades said that when his friend joined a major police force in a big American city run by Democrats, that he was at a crime scene with the crime tape, and a guy, a senior detective, pulled up, walked into the crime scene, threw down drugs, looked around a bit, and left. And this younger police officer was shocked and asked another police officer, who in the world was that?
Right.
And he said, well, that's so-and-so. He's exonerated. And what it means, is that you are never held accountable for anything you do, which makes you this virtual weapon of the state. I mean, a police state with exonerated police officers.
Amazing.
So when you hear that Hillary Clinton, ta-da, is the most exonerated ever, that has a real meaning to the deep state. Exonerated.
You're right.
Untouchable.
You're right. And they did point out in the article, now, Trump hasn't been because Mueller didn't exonerate him. I mean, it was really kind of odd and just horrific. You know what? I know it feels like we're living in an upside down black is white is black world, because we are.
Yeah.
We are with that headline. Yeah. I'm surprised it wasn't on The Simpsons about 5 years ago to tell us that it was going to show up, because people would have probably not believed it. But yes, the ludicrous headlines.
Too proudly. I wouldn't be surprised if she says that at her appearances. I'm the most exonerated ever.
I love what she said about Sanders. People just don't like him. And the whole headline was, and this was in Russia news, it was a high pot calling the kettle black. I mean, it was just so funny. It was
so
like,
ironic.
Really? I mean, but this is the deal, though. America's seeing all this and we're all laughing about it. How would you like to be the butt of everybody's joke because you're such a criminal and you're getting away with it and people know it? Yeah. I mean, honestly, you can go clear back to murdering Vince Foster and that whole cover up and onward with 89 different deaths. I mean, how would you like to be parading around or trying to be paraded around as a person of value and honor when you're that much of a criminal and everyone knows it as they're standing there watching you? I mean, wow.
Doesn't seem to bother her.
Doesn't seem to bother. It's got to at some point. Well, maybe not. I take it back. We'll be right back. So much to go over with Susan. She's brought some great stuff to the show. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Hang with us.
Balance of nature. Changing the world one life at a time.
I'm very, very athletic. I play ice hockey 2 or 3 days a week. You know, I'm in good shape for my age. You know, I keep up with the young kids, but you know, I get tired, muscles get sore, I'm achy. So I noticed just by taking this product for a month, I'm not as tired as I used to be or fatigued. Muscles feel good. I feel like my stamina is better than it was. I just feel better than I did, and I wasn't really complaining before.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com, and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
You know, music's such an escape. I love it. It really is for me. I know when I am out driving, music is my escape from the nightmare of politics. You have to have some sort of escape. Prayer and music have become two of mine. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. And Susan's with me today. It's Wednesday, of course, every Wednesday. And I always applaud her diving in, going through the research and bringing all of these things, valuable knowledge to the show. I appreciate what she does. And my brain just went blank. Make sure you go to the website and look at Balance of Nature. There's a picture when you scroll down. It's right above the podcast for the show that you can go grab and share and listen to. They're great for a vacation as well. If you're going on vacation, grab some of those podcasts and play them in the car. But in any case, get over to Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature, you can click on the photo, go over there and use the word Kate. Use my name as a promo and get this supplement. As we were talking about coronavirus, which Melissa and I were laughing about it because we've had one case in the United States. Anyway, it's not a pandemic. Well, a pandemic means that you can go across lines of a country or state, you know, that's a pandemic. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the hype right now. Because normally it's like a bad cold, but whatever. Coronavirus. So get your immune system up is really what I'm trying to say. Get your immune system up by taking in those 10 to 11 servings of vegetables and fruits. And I know you'll feel better. Absolutely. 100%. Put in my name and get up to a third off. I know you heard me, a third off. It's a great deal. You can't beat it. So make sure you're getting Balance of Nature. It's the one that I chose after all my research, and I'm so happy I did. It's got everything in it. Plus, it has a great drink with it, a great fiber drink. Susan, go right ahead. Just take the floor because you just have so much going on.
So we were talking about Peter Schweitzer's new book, Profiles in Corruption, Leveraging Power and Abuse of Office by American Progressive Elites. Now, he's written a number of books.
I know, I'm wondering if I had him on the show, because about the time I had Mark Stein on that always subs for Rush, I swear to you I had him on. Anyway,
yeah, he's
I'll dig
written,
that up.
So including Clinton Cash, yeah. And he is the president of the Government Accountability Institute. So he is a fearless researcher in putting out the truth about how all this corruption has just completely compromised our government at the highest levels.
Right.
And we just talked about the fact that some people are considered exonerated, which means they can get away with anything and everything.
Hillary exonerated.
Hillary.
Oh, gosh.
But somebody wrote this little note, and I just wanted to read it real quick. It says, you weren't supposed to notice. You weren't supposed to notice that Hillary Clinton was running a worldwide bribery empire out of the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. You weren't supposed to notice that Barack Obama was committing treason with Iran by giving them billions of dollars, uranium, and anti-aircraft systems and permission to build missiles. You weren't supposed to notice that somewhere along the line, the FBI, CIA, and DOJ morphed into the Democrat secret police force. You weren't supposed to notice that too many lawmakers were working for China and not their American constituents. Mm-hmm. And you weren't supposed to notice that regimes around the world were paying off Joe Biden through his kid. You weren't supposed to notice, you weren't supposed to say it out loud, but President Trump did, and here we are.
Right.
So that's what has...
You know what? That is some of the good news. You know? I mean, when I being on radio during the Obama years, I was telling... we were talking about this before the show. Was really easy, actually, in radio. Because it was really easy to say, this is what's going on, and this is the problem. You know, these were the problems in America. We did point out both sides, but it was just easier. With this now, this has become a lot harder, but it's also become at the same time a little bit more rewarding in the fact that this stuff's really coming to light and it's not in the shadows as much anymore. So harder and easier at the same time in that we can freely talk about the deep state without being a conspiracy theorist because it's been exposed. At the same time, we have to work through our cognitive dissonance about what's going on as well, and that's a hard thing to do. So there's lots of stuff going on, and that corruption, you're right on the money, and I'm glad that you quoted him because it's true. The corruption is so huge and so heavy and so high that it's astounding.
Right.
It's astounding.
Well, it's almost like a disease that's revealed. So now we really
yes.
see the extent of it. And now we're trying to figure out what the cure is.
Right.
So part of the cure, as Schweitzer says, is the theme of his book's Profile in Corruption is what have these politicians done with the power they already have? Mm. So we are these progressives running for president are saying, give us more power. But right. what have they already done? And so that's why it's important to look at this. So he talks about Klobuchar, Amy Klobuchar, and she decided that she was going to go after financial fraud. And she went after airline pilots who claimed they were living out of state, but were really living in Minnesota. So she went after like small potatoes. In the meantime, there were these hedge fund operators who were involved in the biggest Ponzi scheme other than the famous ones we know about in New York. And the head of it was Thomas Peters. And so she rolled up and prosecuted the ones around him, the smaller people. But he was a he donated to her campaign. And so he was not prosecuted, Thomas Peters, the head of the hedge fund. And so that just goes to show that she is willing, after she talks to people, that they're in trouble. All she needs to do is get a donation. So it says, he says she shakes down industries and companies for donations. So she'll say, get 25 executives from a company to give her money over a 3 or 4 day period. And then within 2 weeks, she will introduce legislation that's beneficial to them. So it's quid pro quo, and it's right out in the open. It's not even covered up.
Right.
And so one of the reasons he said, and this is really important, that this whole thing is happening with the Ukraine and Trump is that they're trying to immunize Biden. So the Biden scandal looks small by comparison.
Right.
But in reality, it is the corruption. Trump is the chief.
They're minimizing it. They're trying to minimize it next to the what they're claiming Trump did, but he didn't do.
That's right. Yeah. And Trump is the chief law enforcement officer in the country, right? Exposing it again.
Trump actually has the right to talk to foreign leaders of other nations.
Absolutely.
He actually has the right to do that. Biden cannot go and do what he did in order to get somebody off of his son's back in the Ukraine, namely the prosecutor. He had no right to hold a loan over their head to tell them that they had to get rid of or to stop investigating his own son. So there's so much corruption, and you're right. That's a great point. I think really to sort of capsulize that is to say they're minimizing what happened with Biden. And by making all this with Trump to make it look huge.
That's right.
That's why they
have to.
This.
They have to drum up a massive contrast boogeyman.
Well, you know why too is because if they were set on trying to make Russia the thing, and now they're trying to make Ukraine the thing. They could have made anything the thing.
Right.
They could have done this with anything. We could be talking about numerous things because they could have made something out of nothing on anything.
Right.
But they chose Ukraine for a reason.
Right.
Right. They chose to make those allegations. Try to stick, even though, like Mike Lee said, there's no evidence. You can't even have a witness because there's no evidence. It's lacking evidence. And but I think if we think about it in those terms, there's a reason that they made it out to be the Ukraine thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also Iran is starting to play this huge role. But it says, Schweitzer says, you can investigate Joe Biden because he's running for office, they said. But after Hillary lost, they said, oh, you can't investigate Hillary because she's already out of government. So they're making it seem like no matter what, you don't get to investigate any of the people on our side. You never have standing to do that. And Schweitzer says Hunter Biden is the tip of the iceberg, that he calls them the Biden Five, just like the Jackson Five. You have the Biden Five.
I love that.
Brothers, sisters, children who have directly enriched themselves due to Joe Biden's contact. In fact, one of those happened in the Oval Office. There was a company that his daughter's husband was starting and involved in. It didn't even have a website. And they said, well, let's meet in the Oval Office with Barack Obama. Joe Biden invited his son-in-law there and the principal. So his son-in-law was out of town, but the people who were starting the company was there.
I'm sure Valerie Jarrett was standing behind a tree in the Oval Office, too.
Oh, yes.
She was always there, too.
We
always never mentioned that Valerie was there. I swear she was like a Colonel House. She was like an acting president. Without being a president. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's right.
His handler from Iran.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
So it was called Startup Health, and it was formed by three siblings out of Philadelphia. But it was barely up and running in 2011, and two of the company executives were ushered into the Oval Office. They met with Obama and Joe Biden, and the following day, this brand new company was featured at a large healthcare tech conference that was being run by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Wow.
And
they worked up the totem pole fast.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Straight to the top.
Wow. And that's speedy.
Yes. And it's called, there's a phrase I came across. It's called value beyond capital. Mm-hmm. In other words, people who are interested in investing in the company are going to look at who the connections are, value beyond just the capital.
Interesting.
And that's what these connections bring, is additional
value
to
the DSers,
the deep staters. Yes.
Those that do the other, the really important people's bidding. You know, there's always a chain of command. So it's, whenever we talk deep state, we're also talking about the people behind the deep state, because the deep state does the bidding and then they get the politicians to carry out stuff. But it's always, it's three levels deep.
Absolutely.
Four levels deep, actually.
Absolutely. So it said, the chief medical officer of Startup Health, Howard Krein, is married to Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley. And he said, this is an actual quote from him. Howard Krein recalls, I happened to be talking to my father-in-law, Joe, that day, and I mentioned Steve and Unity were up down there in D.C. He knew about Startup Health and was a big fan of it. He asked for Steve's number. So Joe Biden asked for this guy's number and said, I have to get them up here to talk with Barack. The Secret Service came and got Steve and Unity and brought them right to the Oval Office. So this is his son-in-law. Again, we have Warren's son-in-law involved with Iran. We have Joe Biden's son-in-law.
And then we have John Kerry's son and Hunter.
Daughter.
And Pelosi's
son.
All in business. We have John Kerry's son and Biden's all connected with their business, right?
Yes.
In Connecticut, that deals with all of this kind of stuff too. Yeah,
Burnham.
Yeah, we have also Biden's brother who got the big contract, government contract in the billions.
Yeah, so Biden's brother. So,
oh, good heavens.
So I just wanted to finish up with Startup Health. Mm-hmm. So even Joe Biden showed up at a conference for Startup Health in San Francisco. It was 250 people. It was all supposed to be company people, and Joe Biden showed up. So here he is almost being like a direct bridge to the government, and they're getting a strategic...
bridge.
Yes, a toll
He's
bridge.
He's going to get his cut.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned one of Joe Biden's brothers. So one of them is Frank Biden.
Yes.
And I don't know is that who you were thinking
I think
about?
So. He got the $1.6 billion contract, something like that, without having just even a shred of... experience.
Well, this has to do with Costa Rica. So Joe Biden flies to Costa Rica in 2009. Mm-hmm. He goes to the Costa Rican presidential palace, has a one-on-one with President Oscar Arias. And it was important because the last time a high-ranking American had gone to Costa Rica was in 1997. So here it is. Okay. A decade later, and here Joe Biden shows up, and his brother gets contracts there.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll be right back. More on this when we come back with Susan. She'll start right where she left off, just right there. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. All right. I've got Susan with me. And going down the rabbit holes of familial relationships of corruption. It's interesting how, like I said, you know, even in trials, it's always the same deep staters that keep coming up. It's always the same people that it's just always the same. It's a club, and it's a club, a kind of a small club, but you've got all these politicians and all their kids, and all these politicians want all their kids to be in on all the collusion and the corruption. And they're all a part of it. Maybe it's so that they can't testify, you know, they can always claim that this is a relationship that they can't testify. I don't know if they can go that far in court, but it's amazing to me how much the familial, ties, the marrying off of each other, the who's at whose wedding, the corruption that they're all involved in together, like Hunter Biden and Joe Kerry's, stepson, how it's always kept in the family. So it's a mafia.
Right. I was going to say, they kind of take that model from the mafia.
They really do.
So we were just talking about Joe Biden's brother, Frank Biden. Mm-hmm. He's one of the Biden Five, just like the Jackson Five. You've got the Biden Five, and Biden was an agent for his family. He would go out and promote things. So he flies to Costa Rica. He meets with the president after nobody meeting with the president of Costa Rica for 10 years. Right. And it's his brother was working out land deals in the country at the time. And it was a multilateral partnership to reform real estate in Latin America. And they there's the Guanacaste Country Club, a newly planned resort. So this is Frank Biden doing this. It says, in real terms, Frank's dream was to build in the jungles of Costa Rica thousands of homes, a world-class golf course, casinos, and an anti-aging center. The Costa Rican government was eager to cooperate with the vice president's brother.
I'm sure.
So, and as it happened, Joe Biden had just been asked by President Obama to act as the administration's point man in Latin America and the Caribbean. So because it received the highest approval from the Costa Rican government, despite Frank's lack of experience in building, he met with Costa Rican ministers of education and energy and environment as well as president of the country. Mm-hmm. But now here's something very... We get right back into kind of this solar corruption issue. Mm-hmm. In October 4th, 2016, the Costa Rican government Ministry of Public Education signed a letter of intent with Frank's company, Sun Fund Americas. The project involved allowing a company called Go Solar to operate solar power facilities in Costa Rica. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, he can do that.
Right.
But the previous year, the Obama-Biden administration had authorized $6.5 million of taxpayer-backed loan for this project. And now Biden's brother is heading it up. So these American taxpayer dollars were dedicated to facilitating deals that matched U.S. government financing with local energy projects in Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. Now we get into who it was. USAID, USAID announced it would be spending $10 million to boost renewable energy projects in Jamaica over the next year. So all of a sudden you have Brother Frank and the Sun Fund of America announced that it was engaged in projects and negotiations. So these are taxpayer money.
Right.
You know, and Joe Biden's brother using taxpayer money.
Right.
And solar projects, which why are we funding solar projects in the Americas?
Yeah.
I mean, why are we in foreign countries?
This is why the Bundy land was fought over. This is why the feds worked for years in advance to ratchet up the Bundy situation to get them off the land for solar. Dear Harry Reid.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
Well, bless his heart.
Here, Frank Biden's Sun Fund America announced it has signed a power purchase agreement to build a 20 megawatt solar facility in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. So the funding of these projects is American taxpayer money. Now, whether there's other money involved, too, but it's just so odd
that
this is an emphasis. It's not clean water and sanitation and building homes for poor people. It's these solar projects.
Which we shouldn't be doing anyway.
I know.
Which they, the other, we pay countries enough, they can do that on their own if they want to.
That's
I mean, honestly, we're in everybody's, we're giving out everything to everybody.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, now we get on to his sister, Valerie Biden Owens. This is actually, she just got about $2 million from, working with his Senate campaigns. So $2.5 million in consulting fees flowed to her firm from the Citizens for Biden and Biden for President in, during the 2008 presidential campaign alone. So his family members really got great deals with him being vice president.
I'm sure.
And with him out of power, then what does he have to transact?
Right.
You know, they need somebody like Joe Biden that China can use, that other people can use for their own purposes.
China's really chummy with Joe Biden.
So we were just talking about the fact that the families openly do this with Joe Biden, and it they're not even trying to really hide it.
Yeah.
So Schweitzer comes out. He finds all this information through his research. He's got 1,100 footnotes, no anonymous sources, as I said before, in his new book that came out this week, Profiles in Corruption. And this is an explanation of how the system works at the highest level with our taxpayer dollars and why they're freaking out over investigating where all this money went to Ukraine, to Burisma. How did money just disappear? Right. Whose pockets did it go into? Well, there's a whole racket going on. And there was a book. What was that book on the racket in the military? 1947. Kevin was here. War is a Racket.
Right, right.
Smedley. Have you heard of that book before?
Yes, War is
a Racket.
Absolutely.
Well, you can say solar is a racket, right? Yep. U.S. aid to other countries
is
a racket.
It's a racket.
Weapons.
Sale of weapons is a racket. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's
so
amazing.
There is just so much going on. So the end up, there was a $47 million total payout at some point. I'm trying to look and see where that was. But we're not talking small amounts.
Mm-hmm.
These are really big amounts that pass through people's pockets. They take their cut.
Wow.
So you have also James Biden, and I think his story has been told a little bit more. He is another brother, younger brother, James. Mm-hmm. He's the one who had a subsidiary of the huge construction management firm, Hill International.
Mm-hmm.
And the president of Hillstone International, Kevin Justice, grew up alongside the Biden family, knew them for decades. So they're the ones that got this mega contracts to rebuild in Iraq. So I was reading somewhere about what a racket it is. You blow up a country, you tear down their buildings, mm-hmm. and then someone's got to go in and rebuild.
Yep.
And so that money flows. It says James Biden joining Hillstone was joined just as the negotiations to win a massive contract in Iraq. 6 months later, the firm announced a contract to build 100,000 homes. It was part of a $35 billion, mm-hmm. 500,000 unit project. And so it eventually didn't work out. Hillstone did receive $22 million in federal government contracts to manage a construction project. But he, again, had no real experience. He was just kind of stuck in there
mm-hmm.
as who do we have on our board? We got Biden on our board.
Right.
We have James Biden. So the system shouldn't work this way.
Right.
And people should actually be prohibited, if you have somebody who has control over money like that,
mm-hmm.
to be on these boards and then advocating for that money. Why is that even allowed? It shouldn't even be. And it seems so obvious to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if they had gone through with it because it was kind of pulled back, it says this group of minority partners, including James Biden, stood to split about $735 million. So that was the profit that they were going to split after the construction. This is massive amounts of money. So when Trump became president and said, we're going to look into stuff, stuff's mm-hmm. going to come out, the system's going to change. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not he can do that, I don't know. But you can see why they freaked out. The money stream was so big. The weapons, the housing,
mm-hmm.
the solar, whatever.
There's
the solar
is. There's so many
ties. Yes.
To everything.
The energy, the nuclear energy that's happening.
No wonder they all have their own bank inside their own country in America. They have their own bank. In fact, it's there's no disclosures about it. You can't get any information. All that the politicians are able to hide all their money within that because it's a District of Columbia. But it's also it's separate from everybody else, completely separate. And they get to just hide whatever money they want.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter, too. I mean, it's just amazing to me how much we sanction corruption without really realizing that we're sanctioning corruption.
Well, you said it exactly right, that it didn't seem to matter. And I think, who is it supposed to matter to? I think it's supposed mm-hmm. to matter to us. And if we aren't the ones to say to our politicians, this either matters to you or we have to replace you.
Right.
You either have to step up and look at this and be uh-huh. outraged by it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always love is that Trump put on his book when he was running for president, he didn't put this smiley face. He put this super grim, determined face. And I mm-hmm. thought, that is exactly right. That is the attitude to approach this, because what they have built up is like a mm-hmm. fortress of corruption.
Right.
And any way you try and get at it, you get a little piece here, a little piece there. But the main players go on mm-hmm. to do the next deal. It's
yeah.
like it hardly bothers them
yep.
that they get shut down or indicted, or they just move on.
And they keep changing the names of their companies.
Yeah. It's all these little shell this and shell that. And then they just move on. They seem to have this unrelenting confidence that really nothing's going to stop them. And we talked about the word exonerated. They somehow sense they are already exonerated. Nothing will touch them.
Right.
So changing the game is the war. It's like a civil bureaucracy war. Mm-hmm. And that's what the bureaucracy, if Trump had been willing to play the game, they would have let him be. They would have let the stock market be amazing and they mm-hmm. would have just taken their cut. But he's not playing the game. He's playing it differently.
Yeah, he's playing it differently.
Yeah. So I think that is going to be so. I would suggest people buy Profiles in Corruption, mm-hmm. Leveraging Power and Abuse of Office by America's Progressive Elite, so you mm-hmm. understand the game. Mm-hmm. And then you can choose somebody different than you're choosing currently right. as a politician. Politicians should lose their jobs. It's a good thing when they do.
Yeah.
It's not like a regular job loss.
Well, and at the core, everything gets protected. You know, the stuff you're talking about gets protected, which is really sad. It never quite comes out. It seems like it's going to. And then it's people like you and journalists around the world who have sought to uncover it and expose it. It's getting more exposed now. But it's amazing to me how they only go so far. It's only so far before everything is exposed, because it's kind of like the well-known secret, the well-known elephant in the room. You can only go so far before you uncover it all. Because there's so many ties we haven't talked about. There's so many things. And like we said, it's levels deep. And that's what's hard too, is when people say, what is the deep state? Well, it's levels deep. It's the owners of the owners of the owners. And what's tough is trying to think that most of these people are never going to see or
justice.
Have to, yeah, we're never going to get justice on any of these people. But what do we do? What do we do?
Well, I don't like to think that that is the case. Mm-hmm. We know, just like the American Revolution, that things can change with enough determination by people. They can yes. change peacefully. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing now with this impeachment is the weaponization of a resistance. Mm-hmm. This is unprecedented in right. our government.
Right.
And so we either accept that they do this, or Trump seems awfully confident. I've watched mm-hmm. some of his videos at Davos mm-hmm. where he's talking. He seems cheerful and confident. Right. And I think he knows the fix is in to win this and right. to expose this.
Yeah.
So then it's going to be up to people. They can still vote for Joe Biden. They can know all about mm-hmm. this corruption mm-hmm. and still vote for them, just like they knew about Bill Clinton, his 11 felonies when he was impeached. Right. They still voted for him.
That's so true.
They
That's
can so true. Still do it.
You know what? If liberty wasn't so important, it wouldn't be so exhausting trying to fight for it. And the thing is I was watching a show on the Revolutionary War. I know I'm only 45 seconds, but I was watching a show about this, and it was amazing to watch, or be reminded, I guess, would be a better word, is in how much, and in even back then, how confusing it could become, who was the good guy, who was the bad guy, what kind of corruption was going on, how to stop it. You felt like it was bigger than life. They were up against the same darn things that we are. When we feel like it's turned into this, it's always been this. I think it's just more of it. There's more of it around every turn, and it's more of like bombastic. It's more
disgust.
Brazen.
Yes.
But at the time, even we had a tough time. I mean, we were still in the throes of the same kind of fight with the same kind of percentages.
Yeah.
We had a small minority that got it, and we had a bigger minority that were loyalists, and we had people that were really trying to understand it in between, and we're up against the same fights. Nothing has really changed. We've got to dig a little deeper and use all the things that are available to us to fight it.
Absolutely.
And the things that we have to learn from the past, you know, to change that, because it's always been the same fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be happy that
yeah.
we have the chance to fight this.
Fight for our liberty while we still have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To some degree.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susan. Great hour.
Thank you.
I love what she brings to the show. And be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow. Two great guests tomorrow. The woman running against Nancy Pelosi, thank goodness. And another girl with human trafficking. Be back tomorrow. Everybody have a good one.